Diary. St. Helena, California, October 31st, 1905. I awake at 3 o'clock. My heart goes forth in grateful thanksgiving that I am free from aches and pains. My right hand is calm and steady, and I can fill my fountain pen without spilling a drop of ink. I thank God that for many years this hand has seldom been weak. I can walk up and down stairs with perfect ease, and some days I go up and down as many as 12 times. I desire with heart and soul to do the work that God has given me as His messenger. I am anxious to give people the evidences of our faith as found in the Scriptures. There are many today who present strange doctrines, giving the Scriptures a wrong meaning. Elder Ballinger thinks that he has new light and is burdened to give it to the people, but the Lord has instructed me that He has misapplied texts of Scripture and given them a wrong application. The Word of God is always the truth, but the doctrines that Elder Ballinger advances, if received, would unsettle our faith in the sanctuary question. Already, Elder Ballinger has mystified minds by his large array of texts. These texts are true, but he has placed them where they do not belong. The light on the sanctuary question was given by the Spirit of God, and we who passed through the disappointment of 1844 can testify to the light that was then given on the sanctuary question. Elder Ballinger needs to rest a while and cease to sow the tares which will lead our people on a false track. As the messenger of God, I am to bear no hesitating message on this subject. Elder Ballinger does not see what he is trying to bring to pass. The message that Christ came to give to John on the Isle of Patmos needs now to be carefully studied by Elder Ballinger. For these words of warning tell us that men will arise, claiming to have new light, whose theories, if received, would destroy our faith in the truths that have stood the test for half a century. We need to study and understand the message given in the 3rd chapter of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Verses 1-3. This is a work to be done. There is need for Elder Ballinger to humble his soul before God, and to refuse to receive new interpretations of the Scriptures. We have had to meet many men who have come with just such interpretations, seeking to establish false theories, and unsettling the minds of many by their readiness to talk, and by their great array of texts, which they have misapplied to suit their own ideas. It is too late in this earth's history to get up something new. The erroneous theories that we had to meet in our early experiences in this work drove us to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord gave me, His messenger, a decided message that men were placing a false application on the Word of God. Christ referred to this danger in the words, Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. Verse 2. Woe! Woe to the man who teaches false theories. We were cautioned not to listen to the doctrines of men who were obtaining a false experience. We spent whole nights in prayer, and the Holy Spirit gave the message clear and distinct. All along the way, we have had to meet just such things, but we gave no heed to them. Other presentations were made in doctrines that denied the truth which in the past had been advocated. Thus it will be till the close of this earth's history. The warning comes down along the line. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Verse 3. Repent of the inclination to distinguish yourself as a man that has great light. Your supposed light is shown to me to be darkness, which will lead into strange paths. The Word of God contains the truth, but when this Word is misapplied and made to strengthen error, we must meet this danger without hesitation. We must call upon our people to turn from such theories, to receive them not, to remember how they have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. We call upon them to keep their spiritual eyesight clear, and to receive not the elaborate, uncalled-for explanations of the Scriptures offered by some, because these explanations would undermine the pillars of our faith. Reverence the Word, but not its misapplication to substantiate error. The warning is, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Verse 3. This is the message that I bear to Elder Ballinger. The Lord says to him, I have spared your life, that you may remember how you have received and heard.
To us who passed through the disappointment of 1844, it seems impossible that we should ever forget the experience and the knowledge given us to establish our faith in the truths given us through the ministration of the Holy Spirit. To those who have passed through the trying tests that have come all along the years, the Lord says, Ye are my witnesses. Isaiah 43, verse 10. All who have been enlightened are to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, those who are ready to die spiritually by reason of the false theories brought in through misapplication of the Scriptures. There are many who have not perfected a Christian character. Their lives have not been made pure and undefiled through the sanctification of the truth, and they will bring their imperfections into the church and deny their faith, picking up strange theories which they will advance as truth. Let all heed the warning. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3, verse 3. Satan is using all his science in playing the game of life for human souls. His angels are mingling with men and instructing them in the mysteries of evil. These fallen angels will draw away disciples after them, will talk with men, and will set forth principles that are as false as can be, leading souls into paths of deception. These angels are to be found all over the world, presenting the wonderful things that will soon appear in a more decided light. God calls upon His people to gain an understanding of the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ is our dependence, and the Lord calls upon His people to beware of following a course that would rob them of their usefulness. In the proclamation of the truth, there is to be no display. Let worldlings carry on their large gatherings with their great display, but let not God's people suppose that this is the way to preach the gospel or to present the truth. Outward display does not give influence to the truth. It does not add to the usefulness or the success of the workers in God's vineyard. Ministers and medical missionaries, be true to your calling. Make no exhibitions for display. In your expenditure of means, let the self-denial of Christ be seen. In our behalf, He laid aside His royal robe and kingly crown, and clothed His divinity with humanity, coming to this world as a babe, and for 30 years living here as a man among men. He lived the life of a poor man, yet he was the Prince of Heaven. "Lo, I come," he declared, "in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Psalm 40, verse 7, 8. The prophet Isaiah bears testimony. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6. John, the beloved disciple, bears witness. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." John 1, verse 1, 3, 4, 14 to 16. "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 3, verse 34 to 36. In this scripture, God and Christ are spoken of as two distinct personalities, each acting their own individuality. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." John 1, verse 17. "Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps." Psalm 85, verse 10 to 13.
"No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." John 1, verse 18. Moses, pleading with God, said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face and live, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee into the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Exodus 33, verse 18 to 23.